you will have to use your Bibles tonight. I had all the passages in Proverbs that I wanted up on the screen, and I was going to make it very easy for you. And now you are going to wear out your thumb, turning from passage to passage, which I also must do tonight. So I guess there's equal calamity for us all. Book of Proverbs. Subject? Wisdom. That's what it's all about. If the book of Proverbs speaks to wisdom, doesn't it also speak, or not speak in a way, to the opposite of wisdom? All right, what's the opposite of wisdom? Foolishness. Tonight I want to look at who is a fool. If you go back to the 1980s, there will be a character that you will find on TV by the name of Mr. T. And his famous line is, "I pity the fool." If Mr. T is correct, a fool is to be pitied. You agree, Joe? Not sure. Do you agree with a fool is to be pitied? Okay. Well, let's see. You don't know who Mr. T is?
No, I know.
Okay. All right. So let's look at some things that are found in the book of Proverbs tonight that describe a fool. Two questions: who he is, and then how do you respond or act around a fool? First one is found in Proverbs chapter 12. And I will try and do these in somewhat of an order tonight to keep at least from going like this. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And here you see a contrast. The fool, the wise. The fool is right in his own eyes. A fool is a person who thinks he knows everything. The wise person listens to counsel. Well, why would you listen to counsel? Because I think I can learn something. Therefore, I don't know everything. The fool thinks he knows everything. Jump ahead just a little bit to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. Okay? A father's instruction. What would characterize the motivation of a father to give instruction to a son? Love. Okay, so here's a person who's going to love the one who he's speaking to. And consequently, if he loves that person, what kind of counsel will he give him? Wise counsel. Good counsel. Who is older in every situation, the father or the son? In this day and age, we might not know. But always, the father is older than the son. Now, that usually means the father's more experienced in life than the son. True? Usually. Not always, but usually. So therefore, a person who wants to give good counsel, and probably can because he's experienced more of life and knows what works and what doesn't work, is going to do his son well. The fool, according to verse 5, despises his father's instruction. That old guy, what does he know? He won't listen. Besides, I know everything. chapter 17, verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You cannot even beat wisdom into a fool. You can do what you can pound it into them with a hammer, and it won't do any good, because a fool thinks he knows it all. Last one, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Not interested in learning, because after all, he already knows it, and he wants to tell you that he knows everything. Question, how do we know what we know?
By instruction.
Now, how do we know what we know?
Experience.
But how do we know for certain what we think we know? For example, when or where does the sun rise? How do you know that? Where will the sun rise tomorrow? How do you know that?
Thousands of years.
Okay, it's always been that way. And because something's always been that way, we think it's always going to be that way. Is it possible for the sun to rise in the west tomorrow?
Yes, God can do that.
Well, then how do we know where the sun's going to rise tomorrow?
Because God is consistent. He doesn't change. Malachi chapter 3.
Oh, wait a minute.
I am the Lord thy God. I change not.
He changes not. But do things change?
Sure.
Oh. Well, then how do we know that the sun won't rise in the east?
I'd bet money on that.
That still doesn't tell us how we know it. When we get right down to it, the only things that we really know are the things that someone who knows everything and can speak only truthfully has revealed. Now you're on the right track. God has said so. That is the only way we can know with absolute certainty something or anything, because God has said this is true. Now, there are lots of things that we can say the sun's going to rise in the east because it always does, and that's natural law. But who's the giver of natural law? God defined natural law. And if he says, okay, tomorrow I'm going to make an exception, he can do that because it's his law. The fool says, I don't care what God says. I know everything myself. And he really doesn't know anything. Quality number two. The fool has no passion for truth. We have to go backwards. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A prudent man, when he is shown to be wrong, says, you know what? I was wrong. I thought I had it right, but you know what? I learned something today. Well, the fool's not going to learn anything. And consequently, if you try and tell a fool that he's wrong, he only gets angry. Because he's right in his own eyes. But here, chapter 12, verse 16, his wrath is presently or immediately known. Don't mess with him. He has no passion for the truth. Chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man deals with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, a fool will speak his mind and show where his wisdom is coming from. which is a lack of knowledge. He doesn't have any. He's just heard something here and said, oh, that sounds good to me. I'll take it as my own and run with it. No passion for truth. I'm not going to investigate this. I don't care if it's wrong. It sounds good. Give you a little foretaste of next Sunday morning's message. Paul writes to Timothy, and he said, the gist of it is, don't believe everything you hear. Don't give in to science falsely so-called. And there's a lot of stuff, and the word science there literally is the word knowledge. And it can be scientific knowledge. A lot of stuff out there that, hey, sounds good. What's going on in Hawaii right now?
Fires.
Do you know why they're having fires there? The governor told you.
Was that it? They underestimated the fire, the spread of fire.
No, what caused the fires?
Lightning, dragon.
Global warming caused the fires.
Yeah, global warming.
That's the cause of every disaster today. It had nothing to do with a hurricane that was just south of Hawaii that had the winds in an uproar. Because before global warming, we never had hurricanes, right? But people say, it's got to be global warming. We got to do something about this. Let me ask you a question. If we think about this, were there more or fewer laws in the 1950s and 1960s about pollution than there are today?
Fewer.
Would you say that industry therefore polluted more or less than we do today? Yeah, far more, because there's no restrictions on it. So we're pumping all this stuff into the air, and now we're starting to put all these restrictions on what we can do. And I'm not against keeping our environment clean. That's a good thing. But we keep adding more and more and more and more and more. And what's happening to our climate, according to the experts? It's getting worse and worse and worse. I think we should enact some more laws. Does that make a whole lot of sense? Could it be for something other than what we are doing to the environment? No, we can't give that a thought. And we lay open our folly. A fool knows all, has no passion for truth. Consequently, a fool will say anything. Chapter 17, verse 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. A prince is somebody who's going to be in charge of something, have some authority. And hopefully a person who is in authority you want to have respect for. You want to be able to trust them, like we trust all our politicians today. Oh, wait a minute. You want to, at least. You want to believe when they say, well, I'm going to do this, that they would do that. That what they're telling you is the truth. And lying lips do not become a prince. Well, what he's saying here in this verse is simply this. Excellent speech is not going to be found in a fool. A fool will say whatever he wants to say. Because after all, whatever he believes, he thinks is true. And you can't tell him otherwise. So, if I know I'm right, it doesn't matter what I say. Chapter 18, verse 6, basically says the same thing. It is not good to accept verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'll spit on you, I'll throw insults at you. I'll call you names. Because you're not going to tell me I'm wrong. Number next. Back up again, chapter 10. These two are pretty close together. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. What's slander? It's an untrue statement about a person's character. What's interesting, I was reading through Ezra. And remember, Ezra's dealing with the rebuilding of Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity. They're getting the walls together. They're getting the temple rebuilt. The enemies of Israel are not real happy that this is going on. And they send a letter to the king. And basically they say, well, they all utter a whole bunch of lies. These people are rebellious people. They're not going to pay their taxes. Well, if you want to get the king's attention, just mention taxes and that'll work. They're going to lead a rebellion because they're talking about a king of their own. And they're slandering. Well, Ezra, Nehemiah, both had said, look, we got letters from the king that are allowing us to do this. But they weren't willing to accept those things. You can't tell me otherwise. And now because we can't win the argument, we'll attack the arguer. Watching politics as the elections are rolling around. And see when a candidate cannot win an argument on the basis of logic, what they do, and watch them attack the character of their opponent. That's a fool. Verse 23. It is sport or sporting to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. A fool will play a game out of this. He'll make it a contest between him and the other guy. I don't care what's truth. I just want to win. That's a fool. Chapter 14, verse 16. A fool is a person who habitually sins. Verse 16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. A wise man can fall into sin. We all do. And when we're confronted, either by another or by the Holy Spirit himself, who shall convict the world of sin, a wise man will say, oh, man, I blew it again. And according to verse 16, he will depart from evil. Can a wise man fall into sin again? Sure. There's none of us that are above temptation. And we can struggle with things and fail repeatedly, which is why Jesus said to Peter about forgiving another brother, it's not seven times, but seven times 70 or 490 times, which will lose track counting, which is the idea. A fool? Who cares? Listen, I did what I did, and that's all there is to it. I was thinking of King David after his sin with Bathsheba. Now, there was a wise man, fell into sin. Getting away with it. Or at least he thought. Till Nathan comes along. Nathan says to him, you know what, Dave? They were good buddies. He said, there was this guy who had this lamb and it was really dear to him, and another rich guy came along and took his lamb and slaughtered it for a feast, and didn't do anything about it. What do you think ought to be done? David's righteousness is just welling up in him. Man, that guy's worthy of death. Yeah, he is, isn't he? Yep, sure is. You're the man. Oh, no, not me, man. That wasn't his response. And out of that confrontation, Psalm 51 is written. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. I think that's Psalm 32, but anyway. Psalm 51 came out of it nonetheless. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a righteous spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. A wise man will deal with his sin and departs from evil. A fool? Who cares? Last one, under the description of a fool, back up just a page or two or three. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. When it's all said and done, when a fool acts upon his own wisdom, which really isn't wisdom at all, it won't work in this world. Why? Because God has designed how life is to be lived. And he said, if you want to live life, if you want to enjoy life to its utmost extent, here's how you do it. The man says, nope, I'll do it my own way. And that's not going to work. It's like taking God on in an arm wrestling match. You don't stand a chance. That's all there is to it. Proverbs 11, verse 29 says, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. When it's all said and done, the fool that thinks he's so good because he knows it all, it's going to be servant to the one who's wise, because the wise will have acted according to God's commandments. Mr. T was right. A fool is to be pitied. He got it right. So how do you act around a fool? Just four more. Well, actually five more and we'll be done. I have to go to the back end of Proverbs for these. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. That seems strange. What's he saying here? Okay, remember, a fool is a person who knows it all, thinks he knows it all, will say anything, and now you're going to commit your trust to this person to carry a message to another. The fool's going to look at the message and say, I don't agree with that. That would be like cutting off the feet of a messenger. It's never going to get to its intended destination. And consequently, what you were hoping that your message would accomplish turns out to be bad news for you. It's like drinking damage. You're going to get hurt by it. Never trust a fool to do something important. Next one. Chapter 26, verse 1. As snow is in the summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool or complimentary or fitting for a fool. When was the last time in the middle of July or August that you remember it snowing? Just doesn't happen. It's why? Because God has designed the summer to be warm, and snow only happens when it's below freezing or around freezing, at least in the upper atmosphere. It doesn't happen. In the Middle East, in the harvest time, there's very little rain. That's the way wind currents and stuff work. God has designed it that way. It is not the way that God has designed that a fool should be honored. You can't change him. You can't go up and sweet talk a fool. Be complimentary to him and think, okay, if only I can encourage this guy and make him realize just how good of a person he can be, he'll change his ways. Why won't that work? Because he already knows he's perfect. So don't try the flattery to change him. Chapter 23, verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Don't try to teach him. Why? Because he already knows everything. He's not going to listen. You'll be wasting your breath. And the last one. Proverbs back to 26. Verse 4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. A number of fools have tried to interpret these two verses and say, see, here are two verses that are absolutely contradictory to each other. Answer not a fool, answer a fool. You guys that say the Bible is the inspired word of God, that it's without error and so forth, looky there. Isn't that proof positive that this is the writings of men only and this is not the word of God? Isn't that the case? That's not the case. How do we understand it then? They seem to be contradictory. It's this. Answer a fool according to his, or answer not a fool according to his folly. How do you answer a fool? Well, what's the folly of a fool? He thinks he knows everything. Don't answer with an attitude that you think you know everything. Because all you're going to do is butt heads. Lest thou also be like him. And the world around will say, look at those two characters butting heads. Isn't that ridiculous? Now you look foolish. Well, I shouldn't answer him at all then. No. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly. The folly here is not the manner, but the recognition that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because if you don't answer him, he's going to think, well, I guess I'm right. They don't have an argument to prove me wrong. Be careful how you answer a fool. They have to be challenged. Or the world will start saying, well, maybe that guy's right. And one of the things that I think has gone on in our society lately, and I kind of mentioned it this morning, is that Christians have been too quiet in answering the foolishness of the world. Human proverb. It is better to keep your mouth closed and let people think you're a fool than to open it and leave no doubt. That's not what Proverbs says. And unfortunately, I didn't write down my... No, I don't have it here. Proverbs tells us that we need to answer a fool and change them. Is there hope for a fool? And that's the verse, and I unfortunately I didn't write the reference down because I thought I had it on the PowerPoint thing, which I did. Is there hope for a fool? And the answer is, yes, there is. God is greater than all the fools in the world put together. I was foolish enough for 26 years of my life to think that salvation was earned by being good. And I came in contact with the Word of God, which says, "For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And this fool was changed. There's hope for a fool. Let's not be like that. Father, we thank you tonight for this little study. May we be instructed, and may we grow in our knowledge, and therefore our wisdom of how we act in the world around us, to put to silence the foolishness of the ignorant, ignorant of your word, which is the only way that we can know anything for sure, because you've revealed it, and you are a God who cannot lie. We thank you for the health that you've given to us. We thank you for the material provisions that you've given to us. May we never think that life consists only in these things. Our life is found in the person of Jesus Christ our Lord. May we be faithful representatives, ambassadors for him and of him in the world today, and accomplish your purposes in doing so. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.